Glory! God is so good. All the time, God is good. You can be seated. You know, after the fall of the Garden of Eden, Adam was walking with his sons, Cain and Abel. Y'all remember those guys, don't you? Amen. I started naming my boys Cain and Abel, but I didn't want them fighting all the time. Didn't work. As they passed by the ruins of the Garden of Eden, one of the boys asked, "Father, what's that?" And Adam replied, "Boys, that's where your mother ate us out of house and home." I know it's just a joke. But I want you to know there's going to be plenty today. You're not going to eat us out of house and home. When we go over to eat, we're going to say a blessing over here so y'all can go ahead and chow down. We're going to have good food over there. It's on its way. And we're going to watch God do something special. Amen. I'm pretty sure we're having a gospel bird. If I had to guess, I'd say gospel bird. Amen. Now today, I want to speak to you for a few minutes on, I have changed this homecoming message so many times. And I was even late this morning because I was still working on this message. And so it is definitely, you can say, fresh. Off the press, but don't give up. Press on. Get your Bibles out and turn. I'm gonna go ahead. Well, I'm gonna tell you what. Just let me go ahead and put it up there for you. Amen. I'm gonna give it up to you in just a minute, so you don't have to read it to begin with. I'm gonna give it to you. Okay. So let's go ahead and pray. Y'all stand up. Put your hands this way, and I want you to pray. Galatians 6:9 says, "Do not grow weary in well doing." For you're going to reap, if you keep hanging in there, you're going to reap in due season. When the time is right, you're going to get it. And I believe part of your due season is today. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We know, God, that you are alive and well and on the throne, God. And we know, God, that we don't have to be ashamed of our testimony of you. And we know, God, that we don't have to worry because we know, God, that you've got this. I ask you right now to touch in a very powerful way, in a special way. Let this day be a day that everybody remembers because you came into our presence and you ministered here. In the name of Jesus, we love you and we praise your name. And the church said, amen. Now, before you sit down, look at somebody. Look at somebody in the eye and say, the past is behind us. Leave it there. The future is ahead of us. Grab it. God is with us. Say hallelujah. And nothing shall be impossible. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. God is so awesome. There you go. Come on. God's got this. Glory. All right, you can be seated if you can. If you want to stand up, you can do that too. Both of us will be standing up. Amen. All right. Now, homecoming is a special time. Not just because we're eating, although eating is a good part of it. But I want to just kind of put some things down here for y'all to see to understand about homecoming. Why homecoming is such a special, special time. Come on, but there you go. It's time first to look back. We look back. And we remember where God has brought us from. Some of y'all don't know the struggles that people have when they started building this church. Don't remember that this church used to be that little bitty church over there. And that little bitty church over there, actually, you see that church was rebuilt 3 times. Okay, so it's got one, then a front, and then a back, and then there was some remodeling done. And so there was a lot of work going on here, and a lot of things were happening. So we're here to celebrate the saints who labored before us and to look forward with hope to what God is going to do for us in the present, amen, in the future. And as we gather here today, we're reminded this church is not built on one generation alone. Look at somebody and say, look, not one generation alone. Tell somebody, not one generation alone, okay? So I think about over the last few years, we've lost a lot of people, not by transfer, but by going to heaven. Amen. We lost a lot of people that did a lot of work and worked hard, and now they've got their reward. They're in heaven, and it's up to us to finish what God started through them. Amen. And our last, of course, being Brother Don. He would be loved to be here today because homecoming was one of his favorite times during this season. So it was built on the faithfulness of many who refused to give up. So now watch this. Paul wrote these words in Galatians 6 and 9, speaking directly to us. All right? He wrote this verse, although it was written 2,000 years ago, this verse was written especially to us this homecoming Sunday. Let us not grow weary. And get it, son. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season, y'all say due season. Some of y'all ain't your due season yet. You're wondering, how come I'm planting and I'm planting and I'm planting and I'm not harvesting? It's because it's not your due season yet. All right? So here we go. So let we due season. We will reap if we do not give up. So again, and this is the last long portion of all this, and you just see words put up there, but this is the story of this church. I'm not here to celebrate this church. I'm here to celebrate God. But we're going to talk about this church, and we're going to talk about this church now and years ago. All right? So through trials and through triumphs, through lean years and fruitful years. Since I've been here 20-something years, I've seen lean years and I've seen fruitful years. Lean and fruitful, lean and fruitful, lean and fruitful. And if you hang on during the lean years, God's going to give you fruitful years like you've never seen before. So it's so important that we keep that perspective. So God has sustained us because faithful men and women kept sowing seeds of prayer, service, and love. So here it is. Get ready. Here we go. Celebrating the past, anticipating the future, sharing the present, homecoming. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Amen. So here we go. Get ready. Homecoming first is about memory and about momentum. It's about what has happened even up to last week. It's up to what happened this morning. And letting keep our momentum going forward, not backwards. Going forward, not backwards. Y'all say that. Go forward, not backwards. Amen. We look back with gratitude. We thank God. I thank God for Brother Billy and Sister Dorothy and Brother and Sister Gray and all those people that stood so strong. I thank God for Brother Don. I thank you how many times they stood in the gap when other people seemed to be falling away. They kept standing in the gap. And God, I just thank God for that. Also, let's look forward with hope because this isn't the end of this church. We're in some lean years now, but that's because the world is in lean years. Amen? And so don't just look over here at the snapshot of our church and think, oh, no, we can't do anything because blah, 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 blah. But take your eyes off the snapshot and go ahead and look out and know this is what's going on all over the world. Amen? It's starting to build back up now with all the stuff that's happening around us. Don't give up. Press on. Don't stop. You press on. So here we go. Get ready. Look, remember this. What you're doing, your Christian walk, listen carefully. Your Christian walk, your Christian experience is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Amen? So pace yourself. Keep your eye on the goal and keep on going. Keep moving. This is not a sprint. If it was a sprint, we'd all be over with and we'd be in heaven right now. It's not a sprint. Amen? So let us not grow weary in well-doing. We'll reap in due season if we do not give up. So here you go. Ready? Here it goes. Here it goes. Ready? I told you I'd put it up here for you. Ready? Here it goes. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody amen me. I promise you ain't going to scare me. All right. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Forgetting what lies behind. Oh, man, ain't that one a hard one. Woo! We keep a back sack on our back. We've been talking about it for weeks. And in that back sack is all the things that's happened to us in the past. And every night when we sit down before we go to bed, we open it up and start reminiscing of all the bad things that's happened to us. It ruins our sleep. It ruins the next day. And we keep a bad attitude about things because we got that knapsack full of yesterday and the problems. But forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So I love this. I press. It means to reach the end of the race, to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Amen. So that, how many has had some things in the past that weren't so easy? Amen. I remember trying to eat hamburgers and corn on the cob, and I didn't have any teeth. I was only 3 months old. And so it was a struggle. But you know what? I got through it. Can you tell? All right. So the weariness of the past, that this is the caution. Doing good can make us weary. There's something called a caregiver's syndrome. There's also a first responder's syndrome, you know, because they're so busy helping everybody else, and nurses do it, and doctors do it, EMTs, police, everybody, COs. They're so busy helping everybody else that they really don't take care of themselves, and then it comes a time where they're just strung out. They give everything they can give. And while you're giving that to everybody else, they're not giving back. Amen? Or they would like to, but sometimes doing good can really make you weary. That word weary means actually to knock the wind out of you, to make you so you can't hardly breathe. And so yes, it's a reality. Doing good can make you weary. Life has a way of testing our endurance. We start strong. We have faith. We have strong relationships. We have strong ministry. We are with people that care. And then over time, discouragement creeps in. And when discouragement creeps in, we think that it's all over, or we think that where's God at? Why is he not helping us? And today I'm here to show you that God's still helping you and God's still there, but you got to understand that although you feel like God's left you, God's not helping you, God's forgot about you, He cares more for you now than He's ever cared for you. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. So think about past struggles, lean years, hard work, sacrifice. You know, there was people in this church to help build this church, didn't even have automobiles. They sure didn't have telephones. They didn't look, and they couldn't get on their cell phone and call Domino's and say, can you bring us some pizzas over here? Many times they didn't have all the fancy tools that we've got. You know, I got a chance to discover all the wiring in this church, and you can tell each generation what they did and the codes that they had back when. And so all the way up to here, this stuff here's up to code, but all the way back, it's not up to what we would consider code now. It's called the grandfather clause. Now, I think it's called the grandfather clause because our grandfathers did it. Amen. And so again, you watch all this stuff, and, you know, there's people that came to this church, they sang hymns without music, and they gave when they had little to give, and they come in when they're wore out, and they do what they can do, and they sat in there and they were cold, or they sat in there and it was hot. But they persevered because they knew that they were doing something bigger than themselves. What you're doing today for God is bigger than you are. And if it's not bigger than you, guess what? Maybe you need to check the motives, because God is doing something special. Saints before us pressed through, and here it is. Remember this, they forgot their hard times and kept moving forward. And sometimes it does good for us to go back and look in the sanctuary and see where this place came from. See what God did. Some of y'all remember when you were little being in another sanctuary. Some of y'all remember when it was just that one little room. Amen. And so that's a lot of stuff going on. And we got to keep our eyes open for the prize and the goal that's going on. So there's weariness in the past, but you can't give up. Amen. Just because you had some bad seasons, don't give up. Amen. Y'all don't shout me down now. Y'all say don't give up. Look at the person beside you and say, don't give up. Amen. So here we go. Florence Chadwick. Anybody ever heard of Florence Chadwick? Since you haven't heard of Florence Chadwick, let me tell you about Florence Chadwick. Don't Google it. I promise you I'm going to be accurate. Amen. Florence Chadwick was a very powerful, powerful swimmer. And in 1950, she'd already swam the English Channel one way, and she swam the English Channel the other way. So she's a very powerful, powerful swimmer. And she's always looking for a new challenge. And so now she's looking at the coast or the I can't put it, Canary Islands, Kathleen Island, whatever it's called, islands outside in the Pacific Ocean, outside of California coast. Now, if you don't know anything about the California or Pacific Ocean, it's a lot rougher than the... Matter of fact, the boats that went over to Fountain Power Boats, my very first Fountain Power Boat that I had to figure out trouble with and I couldn't go into it, but it belonged to Dennis Rodman, and he was told he could take his boat and go 150 miles an hour wherever he wanted to. He went in the Pacific Ocean and went 150 miles an hour, and in that turbulent water, he tore the inside of his boat all to pieces, and my very first job was figure it out so it don't happen again. Okay, so Pacific Ocean is a rough place. So she's going to swim from these islands to mainland California. Now, the day she was going to do it, it was foggy. Not only was it foggy, it was chilly. And so here she is. She's got boats around her, and she starts to swim. Now, this weren't like a 30-minute swim. She already had swam for 15 hours. I have a hard time swimming across this shower. Fifteen hours. This fog was getting greater, that she was getting colder, and her mother was in a boat beside her watching her. And her mother said, come on, come on, come on. Come on, you can make it, you can make it. But the fog was so thick that she couldn't see the shoreline. And so after 15 hours of giving it everything she had, with her mother beside her telling her, it's going to be okay. Trust me, it's going to be okay. She gives up. She says, please take me out of this water. So they took her out of the water. When they took her out of the water, she found out she was 1/2 mile from the California coast. Wow. She gave up the swim. Because of the fog, not fatigue. Think about that. She could have gone the other 1/2 mile. She was able. But she stopped because of the fog. Some of us right now, things are going on in our life and they got our head foggy. And we're trying to go for the goal, but we can't see the goal because the fog is blinding us to the reality. And the fog is keeping us from seeing the shoreline. You see, sometimes it's not the distance, but discouragement that makes us quit. If we could just see a breakthrough, if we could just see a little piece of the shoreline, if we could just see something, we would be excited. But because she couldn't see it, she quit. So later on, she got in the water when it wasn't foggy, and she swam and broke that record. Some of y'all in here right now, you've got some very daring things you're trying to do. There's some powerful things you're trying to do. And if you're not careful, because you can't see the shoreline, because of all the discouragement and all the fog and the naysayers, and you see all this fog, and you're ready to call it quits, and God's saying, don't quit. Your Heavenly Father's right beside you. Don't quit, because just on the other side, is the shoreline. So here's the application to this. Don't let the fog of discouragement blind you to God's shore. God's got you. Somebody say, God's got you. God's got you. All right. Number two, I'm not going to keep you. Well, I got to, because Wayne said I had to keep you till 1 o'clock. Maybe he said 1:30. I'm not sure. All right. Watch this. Keep the faith. Everything happens in due season. Don't rush your seasons. Be consistent. Be patient. Every blessing with your name on it is on the way. If God's got it for you, the only person that can keep you from getting it is who? You. Amen. That girl was a half a mile from the shoreline, but because she couldn't see it, she got discouraged and she quit. Second is the promise of the present. Now here's the challenge. Here's the challenge. You're going to reap, but it's going to be in due season. Due season. What's due season? Is that when you want it? I come home one day as a child, me and my brothers, we told Mama that we were tired of dry beans. We wanted something different. And she told me, she said, son, come here. You and that Larry and Gary, come here. Listen carefully. I said, what, Mama? She said, what if I give y'all two choices today? We said, wow, two choices? She said, yeah, I'm going to give y'all two choices today. We ain't got to eat those dry beans. Hold on, I got to give you two choices. Is it French fries? Is it chicken? Mama said, no, it's take it or leave it. Amen. Sometimes we forget that we have due seasons. You know, all I can see, all you see is that fog, and all you see is that stuff coming around you, and you're waiting for that due season, and you're thinking that your due season is now, and it may not be now. Amen? Now, if you're pregnant, after 9 months, you better start worrying. On the 12th month, you really need to start worrying, unless you're an elephant. All right, homecoming is proof of the promise. Look around us. Do you know so many people helped build this church? This church was built on the back of a lot of people that never saw this. Johnny Appleseed, he wanted to be in the Revolutionary War, but because they wouldn't take him in the army, he decided, I know what I'll do, worked at Apple Factory. And so he started keeping the seeds. And so he started exploring. And as he started going to the Midwest, he would stop and plant apple orchards. He planted them all over the place. You know what? He never tasted the apples. But countless thousands of explorers that were hungry and wagon trains that were hungry ate in those apple orchards and were sustained. Some of y'all got to understand, let me tell you, there's people over in this graveyard back here. They've never seen all this. And if they could see this, wow. They'd be amazed. They'd say, you mean our sacrifice 100 years ago did this? Yes. Your sacrifice 100 years ago helped make this possible. So, we are the fruit of prayers and sacrifices of past generations. How many know that you had somebody prayed you into church? You might not know it. You may never know it till you get to heaven. There's people that prayed you into church. They were praying for you. They were seeking God for you. They may have died before you got saved, but they were praying for you, reaching for you, and they got you in here. But remember, don't give up now. It's too late or too early to give up now. Press toward the prize. And so now, let me tell you about this very special. Look at this. Oh, I love it. I just had that up there. Praise God, I must have been too sleepy. Keep the faith. Everything happens. Never mind, we already read it one time. The Chinese bamboo tree. Anybody ever heard of the Chinese bamboo tree? I'm not making this stuff up. The Chinese bamboo tree, they plant the seed, and for countless years, it doesn't come up. For years, the bamboo tree doesn't come up. People that don't know better would think, man, you must have did that wrong. There's nothing. I can't see a thing. It's been 5 years. I don't see the bamboo tree that you planted. But then sudden breakthrough. In 6 weeks, the Chinese bamboo tree grows 80 feet. Wow. Not making it up. Look it up. Not now. Later. This is not a challenge. It's setting it in class. Class, look it up. No. Look it up later. In a six-week period, that bamboo tree for years has not been seen. It grows 80 foot. Wow. You see, again, God's work is often hidden until the right time. All those years, because it's going to be so big, it had to have a massive root system. Y'all listen carefully, because I'm talking to some of you right now. Because the bamboo tree was going to grow so fast and be so big, 80 foot in the air, in order for it to be able to survive the storms and the stuff that was coming against it, it had to have a massive root system. So all those years when you didn't see any growth, there was a root system being developed. And when that root system gets to the right size, then the tree goes up. Y'all know Bethany, our daughter Bethany. She had been abused before we got her, and her face had been crushed, and her growth plate was broke by her stepdad, slammed her into a wall. Once we found it out, it took us from 4 to 16 to rebuild her face. Why did it take so long? She was being seen all the time. She had several operations. And the UNC School of Dentistry, they watched her every 2 years. They took all kinds of orbital scans twice a year. They would send it to Dr. Rankin in New Bern, and every 7 months he would make adjustments according to what they would tell him. But still, she had that flat face that had not been fixed. But when she got, Dr. Rankin told us, he said, now's the time. Her skull has quit growing, and that was what we were waiting for. Her skull has quit growing. We now can rebuild her face. And in a six-hour operation, they cut that top plate off, slid it 4.5 inches, gave her something inside here to put a nose on, and in 6 hours, she was going like from this to a perfect bite. And her face had a place, a platform, to put a nose on. But you see, it weren't her due season. They were making all the preparations, but it wasn't the due season. That word due season means appointed season by God for His purpose according to His plan. There's a promise in Psalm 126:5, those who sow in tears in extreme pain and extreme effort that has emotional, can even have emotional breakdowns in this, shall reap in joy. You may sow in tears. There may be somebody even waiting on for years for God to do something and wonder, when is it going to change? The time's coming. The time's going to be right. The massive root system that God is building is already there. He's got the roots, and now it's time for something special to take place. So here it is. Application, God's timing. Trust that your due season is coming. Tell somebody your due season is coming. Tell them. Amen. It's coming. And then finally, I know y'all ready. Y'all look, I can let y'all out, but you can't eat till the chicken gets here. I mean, y'all can go over very quick and pick up some sandwiches for us, you know. But that's my complaint at one time years ago. They were complaining that I preached too long. It messed up their lunch schedule. So the next week, I said, I heard some of y'all say that you really got upset because I was preaching too long. And I just saw them go. You know what I did? I passed out honey buns. True story. I passed out honey buns. All right. Well, look at this. Life struggles are the wings that help us soar to our highest potential. The butterfly, that butterfly, when it tries so hard to get out of its cocoon, if you stop that process, it'll just open its wings and die right on the ground. And crawl before it does die. But once it gets in that struggle to break out of that cocoon, and gets out and dries off, it flies and flies and flies. So your struggles are actually building you wings to take you to higher. So there's the perseverance of the future. Here's the condition. Here's where so many people go, I trusted God, I gave to God, I worked for God, I worshiped God, and nothing happened. Well, you didn't hold on to your due season. God was building root systems. You didn't hold on to that due season. He says if you wait to that due season, you're going to reap if you don't give up in the process. Don't give up in the process. I remember when I coached at Bath, the Dolphins football team, those guys hated us. Because we run them hard. We run them so hard. We practice hard. But you know what we didn't do? We didn't lose. You know why we didn't lose? Because we practiced harder than we played. Guess what? Right now, if you hadn't got it yet, God's getting you ready. Don't give up. Perseverance builds bridges, planting, and reaping. Press forward is an active, intentional faith. Philippians 3:14, straining forward, pressing on. Have you ever seen a guy in the Olympics and they got a 30-yard dash, 60-yard dash, 100-yard dash? They're going around, they're going to run a mile. Do you see the winner going? Look, he's done run all that race. He goes, when he gets right to the finish line, he goes. Do you see him doing this? Do you know when you're playing baseball, they tell you what are you doing first base when you're going to first base? They tell you to run through the base. Not the other bases, you'll get out, but you run through first base. Why? Because you're going so fast, you got to hit that base before they get get that gun or get the ball to the first baseman. That's what it's talking about. Pressing forward, straining forward. Those guys, when they're going over that line, many times it's who leaned in the farthest when they're going side by side. It's who leaned out the farthest is the one that gets the gold medal. The difference in the gold medal and the silver medal, many times, is how far you stretched out. Let me ask you a question. Are you stretching out? Are you ready? Are you really, really ready and straining? Now, I'm getting ready to close. Getting ready. I didn't say I was closing because, remember, Wayne told me I need to preach another sermon. So when I get through this, I'll preach the other sermon I was going to preach. All right, ready? It takes a lot of courage to push through hard times. But never give up. Good things are coming your way. Get ready. How many's ever heard of this guy? Hard to pronounce his name. John Stephen Akwari. Sounds like you're hawking up a loogie, don't he? John Stephen. He came from Panzia, however you say that. In 1968, they're having the race. He was one of the favorites to win. They're having the race. And along the race, he has a leg injury. I think it was a hamstring. Common sense would have said, stop, lay down, let us fix you. But he kept on. Hours after the race was over, and all the crowd was gone, he walked over the finish line. He limped over the finish line. Limped over the finish line. You see, he finished last, but he refused to quit. So the reporters, after he come through and they wouldn't refuse to quit, and he ran across that finish or walked across that finish line in a tremendous amount of pain, they said, why'd you do this? You know you weren't going to win. You know, there was no chance of you winning. Why didn't you just stop and take care of yourself? He said, my country, listen, my country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish it. They didn't send me 5,000 miles for nothing. Some of y'all in here right now, you need to hear this. God didn't call you just to start it. God's called you to finish it. It's easy to say, well, if they did this and they did that and everybody did their thing and we all grabbed hands and went, kumbaya, everything would be wonderful. That's not reality. Reality is a spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is 90% Satan's tactics, or 10% Satan's tactics, and 90% how you respond. When we get in our head, it don't matter if some people quit. I don't like it. I don't like it when I see somebody fall. I don't like it when I see them quit. I don't like it when I see them make a misstep or a mismove. But God didn't create me to start the race. He didn't create you to start the race. He created you to finish. And finish strong. Amen? Not only that, remember, you're on the backs of a lot of people. And there, look, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, there's a great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Wow. So, remember, He didn't bring you this far for you to quit. He brought you this far for a purpose. So the application, God didn't bring us this far to quit now. I'm getting ready to stop. I'm trying to slow it down some. We only got an hour to go. Let me look at for sure. I'm telling y'all this stuff and I done forgot what he said. Let's see. Let's find him. Okay. Good morning. I will have the food back by, listen, this y'all reading it with me. This is not me talking. I will have the food back by 11:55, set up by 12:01. Listen. Hold the hungry group back. That's not me. That's Wayne. Then he said, thanks. He should have said, I'm praying for you, bro. All right, so I read it to you, so now you know the deal. So nothing else, we'll fellowship for a few minutes. Maybe here's a chance to pray through. Amen. So get ready. Look, Second Samuel 23:10. It's talking about David's mighty men and how they fought and how bad to the bone these guys were. And there was three really awesome guys. And one guy's name was Eleazar. And the Bible said, let's see if I can find something here. I'll just do this. Here you go. Oh, let's see. All right, here you go. I'll use this. Pretend this is a sword. The Bible said he fought till he had no more power to fight. He'd given it everything he had. He said, but he was so into the fight and so sold into it that when he grabbed that sword, the sword grabbed him back and he could not let go. Wow. I'm asking you a question here. How many's let go when you should have been holding on? Eleazar. Worn out, couldn't stand, but he couldn't let go of that sword because he was going to finish the fight. They would go in the battlefields during that time, and they would see warriors in the battlefield, and they would have their swords in their hands, and their hands would be clenched to their sword, and they would have to pry their fingers apart. Sometimes they would have to damage the fingers to get the sword out. Because they died refusing to give in. Let me ask you a question. Is that you? The Bible says in Hebrews, don't cast away your confidence, which is in the Lord, because good things are coming. Cast away your confidence. Here's what it's talking about. Taking your sword. This is exactly what it's talking about in the Greek. Taking your sword. DC, come help me, buddy. Thank you. Thank you very much. He said, keep you here for another few minutes. I'm going to sing some of my specials. Yeah. I didn't get dressed up for nothing. Thank you. Woo! Well, you can stay up here because I need you to play something. Talk about awesome. And talk about God giving me some sound effects. I'm not going to do that again. Look. Cast not away your confidence. Because when you do, they start singing the blues. For know that God's got you, and He's going to take care of you. So here we go. Don't give up your walk with God. Don't give up in your family. Don't give up in your service to the church. Don't give up in your prayers to this community. Instead, press forward, strain toward what lies ahead. Winston Churchill, you can start playing lightly, D.C. Winston Churchill, he's credited during World War II, Britain was being bombed nightly by Germany. I worked at Fountain with one of the engineers that actually built the molds. He was a world champion, a wooden boat building champion. Had won multiple championships. And he was from England. And I said, so you were in England during World War II? And he said, I was a little bitty thing. And he said, they were bombing us and bombing us and bombing us. And he said, one day, they came to the school and they gathered all the children on a bus and took us to an island and hid us. And he said, it was the last time I saw my daddy. The last time I saw my mama. Because they were killed. In the raids. Don't get it right yet, Eddie. And that brought this so real, this story I'm getting ready to tell you, brought it so real to me. Because when he told me, he was an old man. He had hair like mine, and he looked old. I mean, he's like 75 years old. I'm not quite that old. And when he said, that's the last time I saw my daddy and my mommy, tears rolled down his face. He said, they didn't tell us they were moving us, but they wanted to preserve the next generation because they thought we were going to be destroyed. And what kept them going was every night, Winston Churchill, yes, he was big, he was fat, he was ornery. One time he was at a dinner meeting and he was so ornery and so mean. One lady looked at him and she said, Mr. Churchill, if you were my husband, she had a cup in her hand. She said, if you were my husband, I'd give you this cup with poison in it. And he said, well, ma'am, if you were my wife, I'd drink it. True story. But every night he would get up and he'd say, we're going to make it. We can make it. We can get through this. Don't give up. Be strong. Don't give up. God's got us. Don't give up. They may try to attack us, but from one end to the other, we're going to make this thing. And he was credited with those talks for helping keeping Britain from having a collapse while they were being bombed by Germany. His alma mater, I can't even say it, school he went to and graduated from, asked him to come speak at their commencement address. He's sitting there, sitting in the chair, an old elder statesman got his hand on his Cain, cigar in his mouth. And they said, "It's your turn, Mr. Prime Minister." And he stood up and he walked to the podium, and they were expecting some very, very powerful, powerful words about the war and how they survived it. He stood up to the podium and he looked at that graduating class and he said, "Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never give up." And he closed the book and he walked back and he sat down. Wow. God didn't build this great big church for it to fold. He built this great big church because it's a lighthouse. Not only is it a lighthouse, it's a lifehouse. It's here for a purpose and for a reason. No, it's not packed right now. We've seen it packed. It's not packed right now. This is one of the lean years. But guess what? It's coming. If you don't give up in the lean years, be resilient, be determined, face the adversary with grace, power. I'm getting ready to close. I'm going to combine these two scriptures together. Let us not grow weary. In due season we will reap. I will press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Get ready. This is not going to be pleasant, but it's the truth. Do you know that faith doesn't grow in a vacuum? Faith doesn't grow in a test tube. Faith doesn't grow by just reading it in a book. It has to be applied. It has to be used. It has to be challenged. If you want your faith to grow, it's got to be challenged. And the problem is, when we're being challenged, we're thinking God has left us alone. And no! Faith doesn't grow in comfort. It grows in waiting. Woo! Think about it. Faith does not grow in comfort. It grows in waiting. When God delays your prayers, when God delays your development, when God delays what you're trying to figure out and what you think should be happening, He's developing something deeper in you. I told y'all this so many times. I told it a couple weeks ago, but I feel like I need to tell it again. I was at Fountain. Our engineering department was divided in two areas. I was taking care of problems, and the other side was documenting stuff. And we worked whatever you call it, together sometimes. But I was by myself over here because they fired the other two engineers that I had. I didn't fire them. They fired them. So I said, "Well, now what do I do?" And they said, "Handle it." Okay. So I'm over here handling a three-man job by myself. And there's four or five people over here doing this job. I get a call one day. And the manager says, "I need you to learn all their jobs." I said, "I do a three-man job by myself." He said, "I need you to learn all their jobs." And I said, he said, "You heard me." I said, "Okay, yes, sir, I got you." And in a couple of weeks, their supervisor went out on leave. When he went out on leave, I was in charge of the whole department. I really was kind of apprehensive about all this, but I watched God move because I really put it in God's hands and trusted Him. And our department, things grew, and our productivity went way up here, and our output was just amazing. And the money that we saved was powerful. Well, the person come back. So I went back over to my job, one man doing three-man job. And this person got sick again. A few months later, and they said, we need you to do it all over again. I need you to figure this out. Come over here. And this time I was doing it for 8 weeks. And on the seventh week, they come and told me, man, this place has never rocked like this before. Said, we're going to make you supervisor. And I said, I didn't ask for this. He said, no, but we're giving it to you. We want you to be supervisor. I signed all the paperwork. I was told all the stuff. And the day she come back, at the end of 8 weeks, they were going to tell her, and I was going to step into the role officially, pay raise, title change, everything. But that day, when she came in, I don't know what happened, but my boss came to me and said, you know what we talked about? How you? And I already talked to this personnel manager, everything. Said, you know all that stuff we just did yesterday? I said, yeah. He said, scratch it. I said, but what about, he said, scratch it. I said, yes, sir. I was very disappointed because I thought I was looking at the raise. I was looking at all this stuff. And instead, I'm over here, one man doing a three-man job again. And the Lord spoke to me and said, smile and have a good attitude. So I did. I smiled and I had a good attitude. My family was furious. The people that worked, that worked for me, they were furious. I said, I didn't do this. And 3 months later, they come up to me and said, the engineer manager's leaving. And we're putting you in that spot. I said, do you think I can handle it? They said, you're the only person we ever thought about. And so, from doing one man doing a three-man job to supervising, then back, and supervising again, then back, got a promotion, got it taken away. 3 months later, like Ruth, I wasn't just gleaning in the field, where she gleaned the field, then she owned the field. I became the engineer manager, and all of those people were under me. You see, it weren't my due season. God was building a root system and building a root system and getting all these people to know me and for me to know them and all this stuff. He was doing all this stuff behind the scenes that I didn't know. And when the time came, out of nowhere, weren't even expecting it, bam, engineer manager. Wow. You see, faith doesn't grow in comfort. It grows in waiting. When God delays, He's developing something deeper in you. Here's the problem. Don't give up before the harvest. Keep watering the promise. I didn't quit. I didn't tell Fountain, you can have this. I just kept my head down and kept doing my job and holding on to the promise. I watered the promise. Every day I'd walk in and say, Father, I thank you for divine favor with this company. I thank you for divine favor with these people, those above me and those below me. And God, I want to do the best I can for you and bring glory and honor to you. Every day when I got in there, I would say that. I walked through the plant saying it all the time. God, I give this glory to you. I give this honor to you. And Lord, I need you to be glorified in my life. I kept watering the promise. And then it happened. Let us not become weary in well-doing. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't quit. I want everybody to stand up. There was a man, y'all know this man, his name was Joseph. He had dreams. God had showed him that he was going to be over a lot of people, over nations. But instead of being over nations, he wound up being thrown in a pit. Then he was sold as a slave. Then he went over to Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, he was accused of rape. And he was put in shackles for 13 years. That doesn't seem like the dream. In shackles for 13 years. But in due season, God had put the baker and butler with him. He interpreted their dreams. And they came to pass like he said. The baker died. The butler went back to the palace. But the butler forgot to tell Pharaoh. But 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream. Due season. Due season. And in due season, God sent, told Pharaoh, you go get that. And they told, go get Joseph. That morning, he woke up on straw with shackles on his feet. That night he laid in satin. Next in line to Pharaoh. The only person he had to answer to was Pharaoh. Don't give up because you don't see it happening right now. There is a due season. God's got a time. Ask God to help you keep an eye on that shoreline. And even when the fog gets in the way, you keep swimming to the shoreline because God's got something special for you. This church is proof of that. Look at this beautiful place that started over there under that tree. Actually, it started outside. Wow. Outside, inside, three different rebuilds. Or three rebuilds all together. And then all this over here. Wow. Fellowship hall. Homecoming is really an awesome thought. Because in your own life, think about where you've been and what God has done for you. And how God has taken care of you even when you didn't deserve it or need it. But God still took care of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We got plenty of time. And we're going to pray before we get through so you can go over there and start eating immediately. It'll be okay, I promise. How many here with every head bowed and every eye closed would first say, I've let fog get my eyes off the shore. I'm tired. I'm weak. I've been swimming that 15 hours. I'm just overexposed right now. I can't stand it. And either like that swimmer, you're ready to call it quits, pull you back in the boat. And maybe, just maybe, you have got back in that boat many times. And right now, you're looking back and thinking, man, if I'd have just stayed in the water, if I'd have just kept going toward the shoreline, man, oh man, what could happen? Just remember, God doesn't grow faith and comfort. It's always in the waiting. It's in the struggle. If you're here right now and you would say, Pastor, I have really, 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 really blown it so many times. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for God to do something fresh in my heart and my life. I'm ready to get back out of the boat and get in that water. I'm going to be like that runner. Although he tore that leg up, he said they didn't send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. If I'm talking to you right now with nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed, would you put that hand up as they pray for me? I want to get back in the water. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. I want to get back in the water. I want to go toward the shoreline. Maybe you're here today. You haven't quit yet. But just like that runner, you got some pulled muscles. And it's hard. Man, it's hard. You just want to lay down and quit. And the Lord sent me. I'm telling you, this was not my first sermon. This is about my third sermon this week for homecoming. And it was done all over again this morning. I was almost late getting here because of it. I believe some people here just need to understand. You might have that pulled leg muscle, that groin muscle, and it's hard to walk, it's hard to run. But remember, God didn't send you here to start the race. God sent you here to finish it. If I'm talking to you, nobody looking around, every head bowed, would you put that hand up and say, pray for me, I want to finish it. I want to finish it. I want to finish it. Bless him, Lord. 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 Bless him. I want to finish it. God didn't bring you this far for you to quit, because he's not going to quit on you. And now, right now, we're going to just pray. We're going to pray together. Then we're going to believe God for something special. Ready? Pray with me. Lord, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. And I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you got all this. I thank you, Lord, that you revealed to me that I don't have to quit, that I can stand strong, that I can make it, that I can climb back in the water, that I can do this. Thank you for this, God. And help me, God, to rededicate my life and my purpose to you, knowing that my due season is coming. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead, Eddie. You can go switch it up now. God's got this. Come on. God's got this. God's got it. Come on. God's got this. Yeah, God's got this. Amen. Man, I see a bunch of runners. You might be limping, but you know what? I'd rather limp over the finish line than lay on the sideline. Amen. I'd rather climb back out, get in that water, and swim to the shore, just knowing somebody's telling me where it's at, and I can't see it, than have to see it all in front of me before I'll do something for God. Amen? God's got this. It's not working, Eddie. It takes a while. It's like Eddie. It's Eddie's computer, and Eddie's trained in it, so it's going to take a while. I know it is. It's old, but it's sure. Here it comes. No, it's not. Just don't hook it to my computer. I don't want mine to get what you got. There you go. There we go. Now, we're going to pray for homecoming, because according to my watch, we got 3 minutes before arrival. I thank God for the drums, because they gave us a little time. 3 minutes, and Wayne will be here with the chicken. Please let him get it on the table before you attack him, okay? Now let's ask the Lord's blessing. What we're going to do is we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And then, Brother Steve, you're going to dismiss us in prayer. Brother Doug, you're going to say blessing over the food after he dismisses us in prayer. We got three prayers going. I'm trying to help Wayne out. Y'all tell Wayne I was trying. If that don't work... Y'all ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.